Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
All right, tonight, Hearing God's Voice, Session 1. God has a voice. Now, that sounds maybe like a funny little introduction, but I can think back to dozens of 20-year-olds over the years that I've had the opportunity to be able to encourage and speak to and minister to. And the idea, the thought that God has a real voice has been shocking to many, many people. And when I say he has a real voice, I mean like I have a voice. And you know what the sound of my voice is. You know, I was in the prayer room yesterday, and I was coming in the door. And as soon as I did, I heard Sarah Seitz singing in the main sanctuary as the worship leader. Now, Sarah Seitz hasn't been doing any sets here for a while, but I knew her voice so clearly. There was no question in my mind. I didn't have to ask anybody. I knew who it was that was in that sanctuary leading worship on the keys. I knew without any doubt in my mind, and there she was as I walked in, Sarah Seitz. Why? Because she has a voice. It's very distinguishable. And all of us do. And the Lord has a voice like that. He has a voice that is distinguishable, that you can know, that we can hear, that he speaks. And I'm thinking back to times in my living room, talking to, groups and even the group that really wound up starting this church, so many years ago, and teaching on this same message. And it's really been a while since I've done, at least in this context, since I've taught on the concept of hearing God's voice. And I can remember it being some of the most life-giving messages to people that are young in the Lord or old in the Lord, but don't yet know how to hear the voice of God. And so... what I'm hoping to do here is be able to give us some solid biblical teaching, as well as some application stuff in this three-part series on hearing the voice of the Lord. And hopefully that will be helpful to not only us, but all those that will come after us and will want to grow in hearing the Lord's voice. So this is very good news for us, that God is real, that God speaks, and that we can hear him speak. That the God who created the universe, who created all things, who didn't just save us and set us into motion and set the earth into motion and leave us be as those that know him, but he actually longs to interact with us and actually speak to us. This is great that the Lord desires this, that this is actually in his heart to speak to us, but it's not automatic that we hear. And that's one of the things that we'll touch on in this series, is that while God desires to speak, and he can and he does, us hearing him is not an automatic just because we were born again. And so in this series, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and then how to grow, hopefully, in hearing his voice. First thing I just want to point out is talking tonight about the role of the Holy Spirit. And we got to understand that from the Bible's perspective, the primary role that Jesus said of why he was sending the Holy Spirit was actually to talk to us. That's putting it simply, but we'll look at a couple of verses here. If we can bring those up, John 15, 26, and John 16, 12 through 15. Both of these verses describe the Holy Spirit's role in our lives as here to divinely give us information, to share things, to make known to things about God to us that we would not otherwise know, that's the role of the Holy Spirit. So here we've got John 15, 26, when the Counselor comes, this is the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Now this is John 15, 26, Jesus saying that the role of the Holy Spirit is to testify about Jesus. And anyone who testifies at any point, in any place, at any time, knows that testifying means talking, speaking. And so the role of the Holy Spirit is to testify about Jesus. Secondly, in John 16, 12 through 15, Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and this is why I have said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and will make it known to you. Here it is again, making known information from the Father. To us, this is the role of the Holy Spirit. It is what he does. It is who he is. It's what he's about. And Jesus said, it is better for you that I go, because if I go, I will send you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. This is really good news for us, because what this means is that if we've struggled in our lives in trying to hear the voice of the Lord, or if we've not ever heard the voice of the Lord, if we don't even know what in the world that means, we have got really good news, and that is that the Holy Spirit was actually sent for the purpose of revealing divine information from the Father to us so that we could know, so that we could have that information. His role is to reveal, to speak things to us. Now, I'm going to break this down into a few different categories of how he speaks and what he would have to say to us when he speaks. First is, he will teach us. So the role of the Holy Spirit is to teach us. The Bible tells us that we can ask the Holy Spirit to teach us about God's word, about his ways, about life, about all different kinds of things. John 14:26, as well as 1 John 2:27, both talk to us about this role of the Holy Spirit in being a teacher, the Holy Spirit teaching us. John 14:26, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. That's pretty simple. Second, 1 John 2:27, the anointing, speaking about the Holy Spirit, the anointing which abides in you, the living Holy Spirit inside of us. You do not need that anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. The Holy Spirit living within us, the anointing of God, the presence of the Lord indwelling within us, the Holy Spirit teaches us. This is awesome. The Holy Spirit doesn't just long to communicate to us, he longs to teach us. And so all the things that we would want to know, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And so he wants to teach. And obviously, at least the way that we've done education here in our culture, that always involves somebody talking. Teaching always involves some person, somehow or the other, talking to us. And that's actually a fair takeaway for us on the Holy Spirit. He wants to teach us, and that means he will speak to us and talk. Next point, role of the Holy Spirit. He will reveal the future to us. The Bible says that we can ask the Holy Spirit to talk to us about our future, about the future of others, about what's happening in the church and the future. All these different future dynamics. This is a powerful help to us because it helps us order our steps. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us about the future, it helps us to know what doors to open, which doors to close, which open doors to just avoid completely, what to do. Helps us to know when the Holy Spirit reveals to us the future. Very, very powerful. John 16:13. We just read it a minute ago, but just to focus on it. When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will tell us the future. This is such a powerful reality for those that don't understand this, for the new believer or for the one that was raised in a tradition that doesn't believe that the Holy Spirit still speaks, to come into the revelation that the Holy Spirit, the words of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will tell us about what is yet to come, the future. He will tell us the future. This is such a mind-boggling, paradigm-shifting reality for a believer. Now, for those of us who are familiar with this idea, let's just remember when it wasn't so familiar. Remembering the concept that God could speak to us. Not a religious leader, not a pastor, not somebody in the church, not the person who led you to Jesus. All those people speak too, probably. But that God could speak to us and show us things and tell us things we could not otherwise know. This is such a powerful teaching, such a powerful life-changing reality, because for those who learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, we now no longer have to lead lean on our own understanding. We no longer have to lean on our own ideas. You know, for those that don't know how to hear the voice of the Lord, you've got to understand, when it comes to decision-making time, they have no choice but to write out the two lists of pros and cons in order to make their decision. What other way could they make their decision if they don't believe that God speaks? And they don't have any way to tap into the Lord's perspective on something, because there are many, many, many things that the Bible does not speak to us about. What job to take, where to live, who to marry. Many, many things the Bible is silent about, because those kinds of details are the daily living that we're supposed to have an interaction and an interactive relationship with the Lord. He's supposed to speak to us about it. For those, and there are a great many that we know, that we're in relationship with, that we're family members with, there are a great many who do not know God speaks. And so when it comes to decision-making time, all they can do, if it's a job, is go, well, this job is going to get me this much money, and this job is going to get me this much money. God would want me to have more money. God wants me to take the job that's going to get me more money. They don't have any other way to process it. I mean, you know, if there it's move to this city or move to that city. Well, this city has more lakes. I like boating. This city doesn't have as many lakes. I'm not going to move to that city. It doesn't have as many lakes. What other way can they make their decision than just rationalizing, just putting the details on the table, you know, about life circumstances, about where their kids are going to go to school, about what other way do they have to decision make except to weigh out the pros and the cons? They have no other way. But that's not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to hear the voice of the Lord, and He will sometimes lead us into dark, dark places. Sometimes He will lead us into the most glorious places we would have never thought we could have attained to. We could have never thought that we would have that go on in our life. The Lord will do what the Lord will do. The point is, coming back to the simplest teaching, that the Lord speaks. And it's so important that not only we remember that and live according to the voice of the Lord, but that we take that precious nugget of truth to those that don't know that. And if you ever wonder if somebody knows that or doesn't know that, when they're coming to their decision-making and they're talking to you about it, just listen. And if all they're mentioning is the pros and cons list, there's a real good chance they don't know how to hear the voice of the Lord. A real good chance. Because I look at all the pros and the cons, but ultimately the Lord wins. Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to go left. But left, left, Lord. Oh, Lord, don't you know what's left? It's going to be trouble. The Lord says, yeah, I love left. And so we go left, because that's what the Lord speaks. And so it's just so important that we learn how to hear the voice of the Lord, and that He actually speaks. And so He can tell us the future. Roll of the Holy Spirit, He will teach us. He will reveal the future to us. Next, He wants to lead us. And this really is everything I was just ranting about, is that He doesn't speak on His own. He actually reveals the plan of the Father. And so the Holy Spirit, if we follow His voice, He wants to lead us. Like the picture that we'll look at here in a second, if we can get those verses up, John 10, a couple of them in John 10, and then Isaiah 30. In these verses that we're going to look at, we see that the Holy Spirit leads us like a shepherd leads sheep. And that this is really encouraging, because sheep would not know what to do with their Saturday if they didn't have someone leading them. I mean, they would just wander around aimlessly and go get gobbled up by a wolf. They are led by a shepherd. A shepherd is leading the flock and taking them to do things and go places and eat grass and drink water. And so with this concept, we see that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. Here, Jesus, speaking to us in John 10 here, says He calls His own sheep out by name and He leads them out. And when He's brought out all His own, He goes on ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Look at this. This is Jesus talking about after salvation. First part was salvation. He leads them out. Leads them out of the world. Leads them out of their old way into the newness of life. So that's salvation. But after that, He says, but then He goes on ahead of them, and He leads them. And they follow Him because they know His voice. The desire of the Lord is not just that we would know that He has a voice, is that we would learn to listen and to be led by the voice of the Lord. He's a good shepherd, but he actually leads. And his leading goes beyond merely the teaching of the scripture. Everything that the Lord would want for us in life will be in complete accordance to the Word of God. The Word of God is the primary way by which He speaks, but it is not the only way He speaks. He wants us to live our lives out of the Word of God and learn to listen to the voice of the shepherd, that we might be led by the shepherd and make our decisions according to the way that He's leading. Next verse. John 10 says the same thing, John 10:14-16. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and they too will listen to my voice. They will listen to my voice. This is so powerful. To tell a young believer that God has a voice and that He wants to speak to you, that He desires not to speak to you like once a year, you know, on the anniversary of your sanctification, the anniversary rather of you coming to know Jesus. It's not like a once a year kind of high priest kind of deal. The Lord desires to be in your life so much that you say, I'm no longer my own. I was bought at a price and I follow the leader. And every day of my life, I'm looking to the leading of God. I'm learning to be led by His voice. And it says, they will know my voice. They will listen to my voice. They know my voice and they'll listen to my voice to lead us in our decision making. Last verse, and I just love this Isaiah passage. The Lord longs to be gracious to you, to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for Him. How gracious He will be when you cry for help. As soon as He hears, He'll answer you. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Isaiah 30:18-21. Here, Old Testament, we've got the word of the Lord that Isaiah is speaking over the people of Israel, and he's telling them, saying, the Lord, He's so gracious. He really likes you. He longs to hear you cry out to Him, and He longs to speak to you, to lead you to know what to do. Whether you turn to the left or the right, whatever you do, you'll hear a voice behind you, the voice of the Lord. This is the way. Walk this way. This is so kind of the Lord. You know, as a little refresher for us, as we're looking over these scriptures that many of us are familiar with, ask ourselves the question, are we living this way? Have we gotten a little bit stagnant? Have we begun to start, reasoning out our own way of life, or kind of just gotten into some habits and some routines? And those habits and routines perhaps now speak to us instead of the voice of the Holy Spirit? That the Lord's desire is to lead us, to talk to us, and to guide us in the way of life. Next point about the Holy Spirit, about the role of the Holy Spirit, is He wants to tell us His secrets. The Holy Spirit wants, He longs, He likes to. He's longing to tell us the secrets of God. This is so much fun to me. It's not just that the Holy Spirit is like a tool in our life. You know, like we've got access now to know the future. The Holy Spirit, I push the Holy Spirit button and now I get to know the future. I get to know what I'm supposed to do in life. Push the Holy Spirit button, boom. Now I get to know what I'm supposed to do. He leads me, He guides me, His voice leads me. It's way more personal than that. The Lord has secrets. The Lord thinks about stuff. The Lord likes stuff. You know, think about, some of the secrets that you've got in your heart. You know, I'm just thinking about, let's pretend you just moved to a new town. You just get plugged into a new church. You're in a new small group, and you're in that small group, and they don't know you real well. So they don't know all your secrets. And you have the secret addiction to double chocolate fudge ice cream. It is in your heart. In your heart, you love double chocolate fudge. You love it. You every night you dream about double chocolate fudge. But you don't go out and just buy double chocolate fudge, because another little secret in your heart is that you love gifts. You love it when somebody gives you double chocolate fudge ice cream. You're just looking for an opportunity in that new small group to tell somebody about your secret, about how much you love this ice cream. You've got this thing in your heart. You just cannot wait for someone else to know that about you so that you could dialogue about it and then hopefully They might even buy you some double chocolate fudge ice cream. The nature of secrets is that they burn in us. We actually want for people to know us. Well, we were created in God's image. God wants to be known. He desires it, but he does hold it close to the chest. He does not allow his secrets to just be thrown out for anybody to just trample on. He holds them close. But he desires to tell us those secrets. He wants for people to be in such intimate relationship with him that he can share the secrets of his heart. Let's look at some of these verses. Psalm 25, 11 through 16. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He'll spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord. Turn to me and be gracious to me, God. Here, this is David giving us this wonderful reality about God's heart, that the Lord confides. He tells secrets. He tells things that are near and dear to his heart to those who fear him. Well, how would he do that? He's going to speak it. And just the secrets that God wants to tell, he's going to have to communicate that. And that communication is called the voice of the Lord, him speaking one way or the other. Amos 3:7 says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. This is him revealing his plan. He has a plan. It's secret. Nobody knows it, at least not yet. But before he does his plan, he's going to reveal it. He's going to tell it. He's going to share it. Secrets of his heart. I don't know about you. When I read these Bible verses, I get provoked. I just want to be one of those guys that that God shares secrets with. Why not me? Why can't it be me? You know, it's not like there's a height, you know, requirement. I wouldn't make it. It's not like a cool requirement. I wouldn't make that one either. But the Lord just says, I just want people who fear me, people who love me, people who will draw near to me, people who will believe that I have a voice and that I want to speak and who will seek me. I love David's perspective as he just gets done saying the Lord confides those who fear him. He then says, my eyes are on you, Lord. Be gracious to me. My eyes are on you. I just look at these verses and I get provoked. I want to be one that the Lord tells his secrets to. Skipping to the Luke 11 passage, Luke 11, 9 through 10, says this. We're familiar with it, but let's think about what's being said here. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And him who knocks, the door will be opened. Seeking things from the Lord that weren't already readily known. Seeking. This is Jesus speaking about the nature of how to interact with God through the Holy Spirit. Seek, because if you seek, you will find. If you seek after things in the Lord, you'll find them. God will reveal his secrets to you. This is so powerful to me. All of this comes down to he actually speaks to us. The role of the Holy Spirit is to actually speak to us. Actually. This is such good news. Because all of these details that we just looked at, they all require communication from God to little you or little me. Him talking to us, having a conversation with us. The John 16:13, probably don't have it on the slide, but we've already read part of it. It says, he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will not speak on his own. He will speak what he hears. What he hears from the Father, he will speak. The Holy Spirit speaks. He's a speaker. This is such good news. That we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and it's not just something that he does, it's part of his primary function and assignment from Jesus, says Jesus, I will send you the counselor who will testify about me. He will lead you into all truth. He will show you what's yet to come. He will speak. Not only will he speak, but he'll speak what he hears the Father say, and he'll speak it to you. The Holy Spirit's role in our life is to speak, to lead, to guide, to direct, to teach. The Holy Spirit speaks. Now, with all that, It's important that we begin to build our theology based off of the Word. And it's one of the reasons I gave you a bunch of Bible verses in this first little part here that describe what the role of the Holy Spirit is from the Bible regarding Him being a speaker. And the problem is that many of us have grown up wrongly believing things about the Holy Spirit. We've been taught wrongly, many of us, about the Holy Spirit. That He's not willing to speak or He's not able to speak. Well, the Bible says that He is. And what we want to do is we want to begin to put beside us things that are not in agreement with what the Word of God says. If the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit speaks, then we need to begin to dismiss teachings, kindly, but dismiss teachings, dismiss belief systems, dismiss things that hold us up, hindrances in our own walk with God. We need to dismiss the things that are not in agreement with what the Word says, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit speaks, and He speaks to us. We want to believe the Word and not our experience. I'm going to touch on a few things here in a minute that are common experiences or you know, lack of experience, really, for many believers in our culture regarding the Holy Spirit. And if we're not careful, we ourselves can have been impacted, and we certainly will know many. In the coming, you know, years of our lives, we will know many who these experiences have marked and defined these people's theology about God, about His voice, and about how we interact with Him. We need to not let our experience define our theology. We need to let the Bible define our theology. Let every man be a liar and let God be true. We need to begin to look at our experience, and when our experience doesn't line up with the Bible, we need to realize the problem's with us, not with the Bible, not with God, not with the reality of truth, not with even our interpretation. You know, if the Bible says it, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. It's what it says. We need to begin to allow the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, to define our theology and not our experience. Now, the reason I'm bringing all that up is because there is so much unbelief. And for a number of reasons, we'll touch on a couple of them. There's so much unbelief, probably even in this room, about hearing God's voice, about the ability of the Holy Spirit to speak, about our ability to even hear. And what we've got to do is we've got to look at what the Word says. And again, when I'm saying look at what the Word says, I'm talking about all those Bible verses we just read. We've got to look at what the Word says. And we've got to press through unbelief, because our unbelief might tell us that God's not going to speak to us, that God can't speak, that God doesn't speak, that God's done speaking, whatever the case may be. And we've got to press through that and say, no, the Word of God says the Holy Spirit is here to teach, to speak, to guide, to lead, to instruct, to counsel, and all of those mean talk. And if it means talk, it means He's got a voice, just like my little illustration at the beginning of a friend of mine who has a voice, and I recognized her voice when I walked into the building, to get to a point where we start to recognize the voice of the Lord. Again, it's going to be my hope that in the other sessions that we're going to do in this series, we'll talk about some of the practicals of how to actually do some of that. But at this point, I just want us to plumb line our theology. I just want us to go, it doesn't matter what I've experienced. The Bible is true, so my experience is the liar. And what we want to do is we want to understand that, because there's an army of 20-year-olds that are coming that need to be told that God has a voice, and they are going to carry with them all the baggage that they grew up with or didn't grow up with regarding the voice of the Lord. And it's going to be imperative that we point people back to the Word over and over and over in order to be able to define our theology and the way that we think about things. James 1, 4 through 6 talks about this concept of believing again and again, overcoming our unbelief. It says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Now here's James, and he's talking about the issue of perseverance, pressing through. And in the analogy or in the situation that we're talking about pressing through our unbelief in order to hear God. Pressing through our unbelief in order to believe that God really does speak, even though our experience might have said otherwise. Let perseverance finish its work so that you can enter into maturity, that you might be complete, not lacking anything. Ask God, who gives generously. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. So when you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, I want to hear your voice. Lord, your word says, Lord, I've done this 10 times in a row, 10 days in a row, and 10 days in a row, I've not heard you say anything, but your word says, let perseverance finish its work, that you might become mature and complete. Your word says that you speak, that you lead, that you have a voice, that you long to guide me, to teach me. So I'm believing your word, even though my experience is not in alignment with that. And Lord, I'm asking you to speak to me. And you said, if I ask you, you're willing to give generously. You're willing to look even past my faults. But when I come to you and ask, I've got to believe. We've got to press through and believe. And I just want to say this. I think for many, the obstacle is God doesn't speak. And we've got to help people over that hurdle. And I think we can do that by pointing them back to the same passages that we already read, you know, a bunch already here. I think that's a very helpful tool to help those that have a theology or a background that says that the voice of the Lord is not active and alive today. But I think a second hurdle is for many who know that God speaks, but have not yet persevered to hear him. Or in a past season, maybe there was some persevering going on. But now we're in a season where there's so much going on, I'm just not really pressing through. We need to persevere that maturity might find its completion in us. And the way that that happens is we press on, we believe the word again. It's really the same prescription for the one that hasn't believed the word the first time. It's for all the rest of us to believe it again and again and again and again. God likes to speak. His voice is real. He wants to speak to us. Now, we can't dictate exactly how he's going to speak or when he's going to speak, and we'll touch on that in some of the future sessions. But what we can be sure of is he does speak, and he wants to, and he's willing to tell us things. Maybe he's even wanting to have a conversation with us that we're not wanting to have, and that he can't tell us the things that we want to know until he's had that conversation with us about the things we weren't interested in yet. The Lord's desire, however, is to speak. And so we've got to press through and believe that is available for every believer. Now, I just want to touch the three lies that I've heard the most. You've already heard me allude to each one of them. I just want to give you one, two, three, because hopefully as you hear these lies presented, you can identify them and you can go, hey, you know what? You're not the only person that's believed that. You're not the only person that's grown up thinking that or believing that. Let me help you out here. Lie number one, God doesn't speak anymore. But yeah, he does. Many people were raised in theological environments that they were told that God doesn't speak to people anymore because there's no longer a need for it. I came to Christ when I was 18, and I was so grateful that that the Lord put me in a place where there were people that loved him. But I was in a church environment that didn't believe that the voice of the Lord was around anymore. I mean, really, is the best way to say it. They believed that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and specifically the voice of the Lord, had gone silent since the first century, and that there was no longer a need for the Lord to speak. And man, it was trouble for me because I was hearing the voice of the Lord and I didn't know what to do with it because I was in an environment that was telling me that that wasn't real. And I wasn't so bold as to walk up to anybody and say, well, God's talking to me. But I was asking all the questions that a person who thought they were hearing God's voice would be asking. Hey, does God talk anymore? No. Really? Never? To anybody ever? No. Oh, wow. Well, if he did speak, what would it sound like? He doesn't speak anymore. Okay. All right, I'll come back tomorrow. We'll try this again. And I was really struggling because those that I had respected, I have great respect for to this day, the church environment that I was in, they loved God. They loved the Lord, and they loved me, and they were doing their best to lead me and to help me and to train me in the things of the Lord. They just had this point a little bit off. And because I was in that environment and I'm hearing the voice of the Lord, I'm trying as a new believer, and I'm telling you this because I want us to have mercy, lots and lots of mercy and compassion for those that are in similar boats. Because of this, I was trying to write my theology according to what my environment was telling me was true, and not according to the Word of God, and not according to even my experience at that point. I was hearing the voice of the Lord. I just wanted to kind of line up. I just wanted to fit in. Well, I mean, if everybody says that God doesn't speak, I don't want to be the guy who thinks God speaks, you know, and man, I must be hearing weird voices in my head. That was actually what was going on in my life. And so I kind of have a little bit of a personal, you know, connection point and compassion on this issue because I was right there in the middle of that. And there are many who have been told by godly people that God does not speak anymore. And when they're told that over and over and over, they believe it. And furthermore, when you're told that over and over and over, you no longer, if you even started at the beginning, you don't have any reason to go out looking for it because you're told it's not real. You know? So, second lie, the common lie that we hear is his voice is vague. So maybe God speaks. This is kind of how it goes. Maybe he speaks. I'm not going to say he doesn't speak, but he doesn't like speak. I mean, he doesn't like speak to us. He doesn't speak in a way that we can hear or understand. You know, it's like God, you know, he's doing things and he's kind of leading a little bit. You know, maybe you kind of feel some little leading, but not like him speaking to us. Well, that's not true. Jesus tells us that his sheep will hear his voice, hear with an ear, hear. We can't hear unless he's speaking. And if he's speaking, we should hear, and we should hear clear enough to be able to decipher what he's saying. I mean, can you imagine this picture, okay? Jesus as the shepherd, okay? So put Jesus in your best shepherd uniform, okay? And Jesus, he's leading a bunch of sheep, okay? And he says, sheep, we're going over this way. And all the sheep hear is, and they don't know what he just said. All the sheep, they just look at him blankly, double blank. They go, they don't know what to do. And Jesus goes, sheep, we're going over this way. And they're like, it's not helpful. It's not helpful. It would be mean of God. That would be mean. That would be like, Jesus, come on, stop playing with him. He's not like that. He's a shepherd. He speaks. He expects his sheep can and will hear. And he leads in accordance to what he just spoke. He does speak clearly, not vaguely. He speaks clearly. And the third lie, okay, he can speak, but he won't speak to me. I'm just so bad. I'm just so dull. I'm just so out there. I'm so ADD. I'm so fill in the blank. False. Jesus knows what kind of sheep we are. He knows there's not a one of us that's very impressive. And the most impressive has still got skeletons in their closet. Okay? It's not about you. I mean, if it was about you, we would all be in a lot of trouble. Okay? All of us. But it's not. It's about him. He's a really, really good leader. Every human being can hear him speak. Everyone. So it's not a, oh, well, that's just for you or that's just for him. I was, got a little frustrated with this one. In a church environment where I was teaching on some of these things, and I heard a number of those that I was teaching say, well, that's just how God deals with you. He won't speak to me. And what they were really doing was they were putting me on some sort of spiritual pedestal, like because I'm so whatever, that I can hear God speak, but that they couldn't. So frustrated me because they missed it completely. No, it has nothing to do with what person. It has everything to do with believing the Bible. And the dumbest, the shortest, the smallest, the weakest can figure this thing out. It's for everyone. The voice of the Lord is no respecter of how tall or bright or educated a person is. The voice of the Lord is about submission to the Lord. And everybody has the opportunity to be in submission to the Lord and to hear his voice, because his sheep will hear his voice. So I just wanted to say that, because those are the three common things that, and they may be repackaged a little bit. Maybe somebody says it a little bit differently. But these are three things I hear frequently as I have these conversations with people. And it's always the folks that are the newest to it. You know, that, oh, well, God doesn't speak anymore. Well, no, his Bible says that he does, and there's not one single Bible verse that says that he doesn't speak anymore. And there's a whole lot of Bible verses that say actually how he speaks and that he wants to speak. And so I guess all those Bible verses are no longer useful, and the Bible is not the inerrant word of God. Is that what you're saying? Oh, well, no, I'm not saying that the Bible's not for real. I mean, the Bible's real. It's just all those verses that talk about him speaking aren't for today anymore. Yeah, you just contradicted yourself. So we want to help people, just point them to the Word, that his voice is vague, that he doesn't speak in a way that we can really understand. I've known a number of believers over the years that they don't want to dismiss that God could speak or that he does. He just doesn't really speak clear. It's not a way that we could actually hear or understand. And that one's just as unbiblical as him not speaking anymore. No, he does speak, and it would be mean for him to in a way that we couldn't understand. That would not be helpful. That would not be the character or the nature of God. He wants to lead us, and he can't lead us if we can't understand. And he knows how big and cool he is and how small and weak we are. He is really aware of the gap between this friendship. I mean, we have a very big gap in capacity, understanding, righteousness in every area. He knows how big the gap is, and he makes up for the gap. He speaks clear enough for us to be able to hear. And then again, the last one, okay, but he won't speak to me. Well, no, you have a pride issue. You think you're so bad, your badness is badder than God's ability. Like, you're that bad? Well, don't even talk to me if you're that bad. I mean, this is we get in this pity party thing. We get, well, I haven't heard him speak to me before. I've tried even before. I've tried to hear his voice and it didn't work for me. So it works for somebody else, but God won't speak to me. No, you got to persevere. You got to press through. The Bible says you got to press through. No, he just won't speak to me. I'm just that dull, or I'm just that unspiritual. I just don't know the Bible that much. All of those excuses don't work. God says, no, you're a sheep. And the coolest sheep is still a sheep. It's not that impressive. And so we just want to look at these three lies and help address them as we encounter friends and family members and those that come around that have these particulars. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I'm going to close out with what I've done over the years is just trying to figure out, you know, a little bit of the whole, you know, where are the confusions and where are the detours on people trying to hear the voice of the Lord. And one of the things that I have found to be very helpful is identifying three voices or three types of voices that speak. And it's probably safer to call them types of voices than three voices exactly. But there are three voices, when we're trying to hear the voice of the Lord, there are three voices we could potentially hear. There's your voice. There's a voice of the enemy, a voice of darkness, a demon or something of that nature. And then there's also the voice of the Lord, those three voices. So if we're going to hear something in our, you know, in our spirit, in our ear, in our whatever, if we're going to hear a communication, we're going to either hear the voice of the flesh, a voice from the kingdom of darkness, or the voice of the Lord. One of those three. And we can learn to discern them actually fairly easily. I mean, if you're talking about something as big of a deal as hearing the voice of the Lord, if it was a little bit hard to figure out, that'd be okay. You just wouldn't want it to be so hard that nobody could figure it out. Really, relatively easily, we can learn to distinguish these three voices. And I just want to give you a couple of points on each one. And a little bit of a starting point kind of in our discipleship process of, okay, I'm trying to hear the voice of the Lord. How can I figure out whose voice is what? Okay? And again, three voices. The voice of the flesh or your own. The voice from the enemy. And that can even be, really, I'll just, any voice from the kingdom of darkness, that could even be just some carnal thing, you know, within you. And then lastly, the voice of the Lord. Now, here's the best way that I can kind of tell you some ground rules, okay? This isn't going to fix all of your problems in 5 minutes, which is what we're going to spend on it. But this will give you a little bit of some ground rules, okay? One, the voice of your flesh, your own voice. I'll tell you this, when you're trying to hear the voice of the Lord, 9 times out of 10, you're going to hear your voice, at least. Your voice is going to be in the mix. You're going to be trying to discern, is this God or is this me? And your voice is in there somewhere because you're in your head more than anybody. Okay? So when you're trying to hear the voice of the Lord, you're going to have to decipher through 3 types of voices, your own, the enemy, and the Lord. And I'll tell you that not every time